Shut up for a second, please.
We're in a cultural war,
Hell no, we won't.
How do you think you are talking to me like that?
I resent the fact that your implication that only you are a Canadian.
The culture war is back.
All right, and away we go with a culture war. The culture war is on every Tuesday at this time, examining some of those stories that make the headlines in our culture and the things that divide us. Scott Masson is the associate pastor at the Westminster Chapel here in Toronto. Good to have you back, Scott.
Good morning, John.
And Greta Vosper, minister at the West Hill United Church, founder of the Center for Progressive Christianity. Good morning to you,
Good
Greta.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
You know, the word progressive Christianity is kind of interesting. I guess it's sort of springs to mind that the Pope is resigning, and some are saying this is now an opportune moment for the Catholic Church to re-examine some of its direction over historically and perhaps take it into a more progressive area or direction, kind of a Vatican III. Greta, do you think that that might be an appropriate moment? They should seize the opportunity now? Do you see that happening at all?
Certainly they should seize the opportunity. It's kind of like having a New Year's Day for us. You know, you look at the year that's coming and you think, well, I'm going to make some decisions and make some changes. But in actual fact, any day is a good day to take stock of what's going on and to make some changes. And the Roman Catholic Church has had how many days, even under this man, it would never have been expected that he would bring about reform when he became Pope 8 years ago. But the people have been proving that the Roman Catholic Church is not where their sentiments lie and where their faith is going to be nurtured and strengthened. And they've been leaving the church under his leadership over the past 8 years in droves. And whether that will continue under new leadership, if they can try to draw people back in, I mean, I would prefer that people continue to
so what would
leave
you do
the,
then?
The Roman Catholic Church and show that many of the doctrines that they hold to be true are not true, and that their application of those doctrines is oppressive and hard and horrid.
All right, so
in
if there were
ways.
To be a renaissance, a revolution of the doctrine within the church now because of this Pope stepping down, in what areas specifically? Give me a couple, three examples.
Well, some immediate ones come to mind. Ordination of women and the acceptance of and recognition of the leadership that women have in the Roman Catholic Church. Women have had incredibly important positions in the Catholic Church, but they are not allowed to have ordination, because that's a gift from God only to men. Not that I think that I want women ordained into the Catholic Church, because I think that women need to recognize that there are other doctrines within the Catholic Church that prohibit all kinds of rights.
All right,
people.
So you think the church is so retrograde?
Same-sex marriage, and birth control.
All right, so you think they should recognize same-sex marriage and relax on contraception?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Scott Masson. I mean, Greta sees perhaps an opportunity for a renaissance, a Vatican III.
I don't
to the
see
power
it coming. It's an opportunity.
No, but you
but
think
I
it's an opportunity,
it
Scott?
Well, I guess it is an opportunity in the sense that there's a change, and when there's a change, there's always a possibility of a change of direction. But I think it is – I agree with Greta. I think it's highly unlikely, to say the least. And I also would – and here's where we disagree. I think it would also be profoundly unwise given the direction of the progressivism that Greta's talking about. The church is built on a rock. Greta wants it to be built on a house of sand. The Western societies that have embraced the progressive agenda are growing increasingly bankrupt because they've divorced their economic life from reality. They're inflating currency. They're not producing children. Literally, they are dying out. These are cultures of death. There's abortion en masse, on demand throughout the Western world. And when there's that sort of cultural stagnation that's taking place, to embrace this, for the church to embrace this, is to say, we want to die out. And I think Greta's views on this are totally divorced from reality, and so do the church's on this. And quite frankly, I think time will prove that the Catholic Church has been correct on the doctrines that Greta has disputed here.
Well, it certainly, if the purpose is to maintain an institution, then shoring
Which
it up
isn't.
and holding on to doctrine is a good thing to do. But the rock that Scott refers to, upon which the church is built, that rock has been fissured since day one. There has never been a single solid rock upon which a church has been built.
It's called
and
Jesus
each,
Christ, Greta.
And each church defines and builds its own church in a way that interprets what that means to them. And so there's always been dozens of fissures. And in my perspective, there's no such thing as heresy.
Right.
Like, there
and you
is
don't think
no
there's anything
absolute
such thing as truth,
truth
either.
That anyone
right.
can identify and say that, oh, because this is identified as the absolute truth, you're wrong.
Right.
There
you don't
is
think
no
there's any such thing
truth.
As truth, but they're wrong. And you don't
there
see there's a contradiction
no
there.
There is no absolute truth.
Right. And is that an absolute statement?
Well, you could say it's an absolute statement,
right.
but I think that if you tried to study that one, you'd find that there isn't one to be found.
All right, so, listen, let me move forward here, because the church at a crossroads, that's just one talking point, and we discussed it briefly yesterday when we got the announcement, and it shocked a lot of people and the reverberations and all of the implications. We can delve into that if the caller so choose, but Crossroads has come under scrutiny as well. This is the Crossroads Ministry out of Burlington. Where they get about $540,000 annually to do ministering work as an NGO in darkest Africa, places like Uganda. And this is what has raised the ire of Thomas Mulcair and other fellow travelers or like-minded individuals who believe because their position on homosexuality is counter to his words, Canadian values, and therefore they ought to be defunded. Mm-hmm. And now Minister Fantino, in charge of the file with the Canadian International Development Agency, is looking into it. Some suggestions that perhaps they're proselytizing or promoting their anti-gay agenda. That's one of the arguments. Now, Uganda is known as well for putting people who are gay overtly so in prison and promoting the lifestyle. It used to be some cases where they'd be killed, but now I believe they've tamped that down to but prison is still a prospect there. So, let me start with you, Scott Masson. Do you believe that there ought to be an examination of CETA funding this group, and should they have the funding withdrawn?
Ought there to be an examination of it? I guess if there's a sense that there's some impropriety involved in funding any organization, I guess for me the bigger question is whether the government ought to be involved in subsidizing or contributing funding to any organization overseas like this. I think the government has no business in that. I would like to decide where my tax dollars go or don't go, as in don't tax me so much and I'll give the money where I want. But let's leave that aside. On this particular issue, the funding goes to digging wells. And the wells go to the benefit of, I would have thought they're indiscriminate. Water goes to everyone. So I don't think that there's a particular problem with them digging wells here. And they've been doing it for many, many years. And I don't think there's any question that it is benefiting the people that are there. I don't think anybody disputes that. So this is just political haymaking on the NDP's part to suggest that evangelicals are un-Canadian because of their beliefs. Is actually, it's not just slanderous, it's a form of religious baiting. And I think it's contemptible for an elected official to discriminate against a group of Canadians who have been foundational to the life and the justice and the fruitfulness of this country. It is beyond contempt.
All right. And the fact that they're also doing good work, we're guessing.
Precisely.
Digging wells on the ground in Uganda and places, far-flung outposts where perhaps they wouldn't receive any help or assistance. They're boots on the ground, Greta. But is it because they have a stance on homosexuality that would disqualify, should it disqualify them from receiving government money?
I think that the government needs to be careful about where it puts its money, and I think it has in the past scrutinized groups receiving its money and decided to pull funding, sometimes appropriately and sometimes inappropriately. I'm sure that there are non-governmental organizations that are not related to faith-based groups that are on the ground in Uganda that are doing this kind of good work, and the government could think about that. But as long as over 80% of our First Nations communities come up with either high or medium risk water facilities, I think the federal government should be putting its money here at home into making sure that the water that almost 500,000 Canadians on reserve receive, that water is not at a very high risk drinking water.
All right,
water
so you don't want to subsidize. You don't want to subsidize missionary work in foreign
No, I
countries.
Don't think. No, absolutely. We should not be subsidizing faith-based initiatives, that particularly those that do not promote and support the values that the Canadian people embrace. And the Canadian people have embraced, and our law has supported the rights of gays and lesbians and not identified what that them as sinful or of an aberrant nature. And I think that any organization that does that should not receive money from the Canadian people, not out of my pocket and not out of Scott's.
Right.
If Scott wants to give money to communications, Crossroad Communications, to take to Uganda, he can do that. Any evangelical can support their evangelical projects.
All right, but if we were to flip it,
the federal government is a very different question.
All right, but if we were to flip it on its side and suggest that there are going to be people going to, say, places in Africa that maybe the predominant point of view is abstinence is the answer to high birth rates or AIDS or whatever. And they were promoting handing out condoms. Do you think government money were okay in that instant?
If that was the perspective of the people that were putting the money out, if that matches the Canadian perspective, then fine. There was a huge outcry when the Pope went there and said that they shouldn't use condoms. And I mean, the world responded negatively to that.
All right. So we're exporting a value system.
It's a value system that we can or cannot export. It's up to us. But I don't think that you should export a value system that does not represent the people of the country.
Which country?
Canada.
Well, I don't think it's the government's business to be exporting Canadian values in that way with our tax dollars. We will do this ourselves. It goes beyond the government's mandate to do this. There is a clear distinction there, and John highlighted it between.
But you could say that with peacekeeping, with anything, like we're exporting our values.
Right, there. But that's a form of colonialism, and you don't particularly mind it as long as it's in accordance with your values. But when it's not in accordance with your values, you say it's un-Canadian. And I would like to think that I'm a Canadian and that I haven't been disenfranchised as a citizen because you disagree with me. And so your position and Mulcair's position is effectively to stigmatize your fellow citizens, say that they're not Canadians because they don't agree with you on what you call Canadian values, and suddenly you become the.
I've allowed you the right to put your money wherever you want to.
You don't have to allow me that. I have that right, whether
that's
you give
right.
it to me or not.
So,
but you think that the government gives me that right, and that's the problem
But
here.
The government is taking my right to not put money into an evangelical organization. The government is taking my right away from me by doing that.
I don't see how they're taking your money.
They're using my tax dollars to fund an evangelical organization.
I don't think they should be funding any of the organizations.
That has
that's
the right
the
into everyone's home through the Canadian, through the Christian television service.
Right, but you'd be happy if they distributed condoms. That was the point.
No.
If it was an organization that was distributing condoms and
if promoting, an organization was distributing condoms in a country
in
that believed
it.
that was inappropriate, then I would think that was inappropriate. I don't think that Canada should be doing something in a country that
Well, in Africa, they hate that because to produce children is to foster community life, so they love that. So all these programs where they distribute condoms and birth control and abortion, this is totally antithetical to the African mindset. This is importing our values. It's the culture of death.
Well, let's find out how the folks feel. We'll open the lines on a couple of points that we've already addressed, where we've got a new pope, or we're awaiting a new pope, and is this a moment for the Catholic Church to seize and become more progressive? And the other question, Crossroads Ministries, evangelical Christians doing ministry work in darkest Africa, should the government be funding them with taxpayer money? Yes or no? To the tune of $540,000.